2018. Hashtag all caps. The game. New York Mets 8, Washington Nationals 2 at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. Attendance was 42,477 on Thursday, April 5th, 2018. The weather, cold. 40s, partly sunny and breezy. Hall of Famers? Maybe Mets pitcher Jacob DeGrom, Nationals outfielder Bryce Harper, and pitcher Max Scherzer. They're all eligible 5 years after retirement. Game highlights. The Nationals' bats were as cold as the April air, and starter Steven Strasburg was not as sharp as he'd been in the season opener a week earlier at Cincinnati. The Mets tagged Stras for 4 runs in 6 innings, including a solo homer by Yeinis Cespedes and a 2-run shot by Michael Conforto. Jay Bruce blew the game open with a grand slam off reliever Brandon Kinsler. For the 7th time in the last 13 opening days, the Nationals had a new leader. Unlike Dusty Baker, 2 years earlier, rookie manager Dave Martinez had no trouble finding Nationals Park on opening day. He had been in the visitors' clubhouse quite often over the past few seasons as a coach for the Chicago Cubs, the team that eliminated the Nationals from the 2017 postseason just 6 months earlier. The story. Steve Ebner and I had experienced opening day together before, and we both were well prepared on this chilly afternoon, wearing multiple layers under our Nationals jerseys. Normally, we might have headed home early, once the Mets went up 8-2 in the 7th inning, but we had serious postgame plans. A DC Sports doubleheader. After Wilmer Defoe grounded out to end the game, we put that loss behind us and turned our focus to the next game. We had 3 hours to kill before puck drop at the Capital One Arena, just 4 metro stops away, where our Washington Capitals would play their second-to-last game of the National Hockey League's regular season. As the players left the field, we reached under our seats and pulled from our backpacks the uniforms for our next game. I shed the Ryan Zimmerman number 11 jersey and transitioned to the Great 8, Alex Ovechkin. Steve replaced number 7, Trey Turner, with number 19, Nicklas Backstrom, Ovi's teammate of 11 seasons. As it turned out, our little jersey swap was but a footnote in the dramatic 9-week, some would say 19-month, storyline that firmly cemented the team-mance, that's the group equivalent of a bro-mance, between these two teams and forever changed the attitudes of DC sports fans. It would culminate with a first-ever Stanley Cup championship for the Capitals exactly 9 weeks later, and a first-ever World Series championship for the Nationals in October 2019. The Capitals lost that night to Nashville. No matter, they had already clinched the Metropolitan Division title and were heading to the playoffs for the 28th time in the last 36 seasons. Capitals fans, much like Nationals fans more recently, had come to expect great regular seasons followed by bitter endings come playoff time. The Caps had been doing it longer than the Nationals, but the cruel and unusual punishment was the same. 44 seasons and no championships. The feeling did not skip generations. My son Patrick had learned to expect it too. After the 2016 Chicago Cubs won their first World Series since 1908, my hockey and baseball-loving son tagged me in a social media post that included a piece about a North Carolina man who traveled more than 600 miles to an Indiana cemetery so he could listen to the final game with his dad, something he'd promised more than 50 years earlier. "I'll do this for you," my son wrote sarcastically, "when the Caps finally win a Stanley Cup Finals in 2062. The Nationals had won 4 National League East titles since 2012, each followed by an early playoff exit, an NL Division Series loss to a lower-seeded foe. The Capitals had helped prepare Nationals fans for this ritual disappointment. Over the previous 10 years, the Caps made the playoffs 9 times, including 7 division titles. Almost every year, they then lost to a lower-seeded team. The abuse included 5. Heart-crushing Game 7 losses at home. We were well-schooled when the Nats did the same thing year after year, losing the decisive final game at home against the Cardinals in 2012, Dodgers in 2016, and Cubs in 2017. Heck, in 2014 against the Giants, after failing in two one-run games at home, one in 18 innings, the longest postseason game in baseball history, then losing game four of the best of five series on the road, the team never came back to Nationals Park. They broke our hearts in San Francisco. Our depression each time lasted only a few days, not weeks. We'd had multiple doses of the postseason vaccine administered by the Washington Capitals. After the Caps lost this night to Nashville, Steve and I pondered postseason ticket plans and came to the same conclusion. The price of tickets for up to 16 games was too high, and our immune systems were too fragile. For the first couple of rounds, we planned to practice social distancing, watch on TV, hold our breath, and cover our eyes when necessary. Call us in a month. In the first round, the Columbus Blue Jackets, a wildcard team, won the first two games of the series in overtime in Washington. Felt a lot like that Nationals-Giants series in 2014. But unlike the Nats 4 years earlier, the Capitals rallied to win the next four games to advance. Might this year be different? Next up, the rival two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins, a playoff matchup that had meant bad things for more than 25 years. These two teams had met in the postseason 10 times between 1991 and 2017. Pittsburgh had won nine. DC's almost unshakable postseason pessimism extended beyond hockey and baseball. Over the previous 19 years, 71 NHL, NBA, MLB, and NFL seasons, the city's teams had made the playoffs 29 times and not one advanced to their sports equivalent of the Final Four. A win over the Penguins would get that 800-pound gorilla off the back of every sports fan in town. The Capitals played well in the first five games and took a 3-2 series lead to Pittsburgh. In Game 6, the team skated to a 1-1 tie through three periods, forcing the eighth sudden-death overtime playoff game in the past 25 between these bitter rivals. Less than 6 minutes into overtime, Capitals center Evgeny Kuznetsov scored the biggest goal in franchise history. I sprang from my seat in stunned disbelief, arms overhead, screaming. As the celebration unfolded on Pittsburgh's home ice, the voice in my head was that of Al Michaels as the U.S. Olympic hockey team did the impossible, defeating the Soviet Union in 1980 Winter Olympic Games. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! DC sports had entered a new phase. The playoff cloud, which had hung over the city for a generation, disappeared in an instant. Suddenly, everyone, it seemed, was pulling for the Caps. Sports fans suddenly had permission to think differently. Hashtag, it's okay to believe. In the next round, the Capitals rallied from a 3-2 deficit to win the series 4-3, shutting down favored Tampa Bay in the final two games by a combined score of 7-0 to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals. I was ready to take out a second mortgage if necessary to attend the games in Washington. The tickets I wound up with on the 200 level for games 3 and 4 against visiting Vegas were just 25 feet from where Hall of Famer and three-time Super Bowl champion head coach Joe Gibbs whipped the Capital One Arena into a frenzy before game 3. Two nights later, the Nationals, Ryan Zimmerman and Max Scherzer, had the same assignment. Same spot. Same seats. Ryan and Max were serious fans, completely into the electricity and delirium of the night. They wore Caps jerseys and traded in their batting helmets for hockey helmets and baseball bats for hockey sticks. Let's go, Caps! Let's go, Caps! They screamed over and over. The packed house rocked with them. It rocked all night. The Caps won Game 4, and two nights later, Washington held on to finish off the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Capitals radio voice John Walton was delirious.
the words that DC fans have been waiting to hear since 1974, he screamed, as only John could. The Washington Capitals are the 2018 Stanley Cup champions. It's not a dream. It's not a desert mirage. It's Lord Stanley, and he's coming to Washington.
Lord Stanley's Cup, accompanied by some very happy, hungover hockey players, arrived in Washington the next afternoon. With the most iconic, one-of-its-kind trophies in all of sports in tow, the players then embarked on a four-day non-stop party with the fans, stopping first at Nationals Park and culminating along the National Mall with the city's most ruckus victory parade ever. It was the first such rally of any kind in more than a quarter century since Coach Gibbs last hoisted the Vince Lombardi Trophy in January 1992. The Capitals arrived at the ballpark around noon on Saturday, less than 36 hours into their reign as champions. They went straight to the Nationals locker room for a team-mantic rendezvous, complete with high fives, hugs, and selfies. Few pro sports teams in the same city were as close from top to bottom as these Capitals and Nationals. The owners got along, the players did too. They genuinely liked each other. Throughout the two-month playoff run, Nationals players routinely wore Capitals t-shirts on game days under their jerseys and all caps hats during pregame warm-ups. Nationals manager Dave Martinez seized the moment. He wanted his players to savor this experience as much as their hockey-playing pals. The combined group photo made it hard to tell which ones were which. Happy athletes, all wearing white and red. Minutes later, Caps owner Ted Leonsis and Ovechkin led their team out of the dugout and onto the field. Ovi clutched that 3-foot-high, 35-pound trophy with both hands. He hadn't parted with it for more than a minute since taking possession Thursday night. He placed the Stanley Cup on the back of the pitcher's mound for a team photo. His teammates were wearing Stanley Cup champion hats and Nationals shirts. Superfan Scherzer had to fight off teammates for the honor of catching Ovechkin's ceremonial first pitch. Ovechkin's initial toss sailed well over Scherzer's head, but the Russian did not miss his second shot. Just 9 days earlier during his start at Baltimore, Max was sneaking away from the dugout while his teammates were at bat so he could watch the Caps in Game 2 at Vegas. Max tweeted that night, "Best part of having a DH tonight is that I can stay in the clubhouse and watch the Caps game while we hit." Max pitched 8 efficient innings that night in a 2-0 Washington win, wrapping things up early so he could watch the third period of the Capitals win in peace. The Capitals were expected to leave Nationals Park after the pregame festivities. Instead, they held the party bus and delayed their fan-filled pub crawl through Georgetown by 3 hours, camping out in a suite at the ballpark all afternoon. Players posed for pictures and did entertaining interviews. They lifted the Stanley Cup to the delight of the 37,000-plus fans at the ballpark. More often, though, they lifted bright blue cans of Bud Light. Nationals fans could not keep their eyes off that shiny trophy. Each had the same thought. I want one, too. The box score, play-by-play, and pictures of Zim, Max, and Joe Gibbs firing up the crowd. Visit OpeningDay5050.com.